Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 253. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Cox. We are going to get super spoilery now on Legends of Tomorrow, 205, Compromised. To recap, the Legends trace a timequake all the way back to Reagan's White House and find that Damian Dark has made himself a senior advisor. At first, Sarah tries to kill him. Later, Vixen convinces her that restraint would serve better, so she just tells him everything he needs to avoid in the future instead. Stein has a heart-to-heart with his younger, brasher self, telling him to cherish his relationship with Clarissa above all else. Ray and Mick go on an emotional journey as they both learn that Ray will never be smart and should just be proud of being himself. Vixen and Obsidian catch up on why she ditched her old team back in 42, and Eobard Thawn shows up to take Dark someplace in a time sphere. Which, you know what? I was confused because I thought the time sphere was actually, like, able to go through time itself without needing a flash vortex, but it kind of just looks like that's not even the case now.
I just kind of assumed it was broken.
Oh, okay.
Like, it just needs a jump start. Like, the battery's dead on the time sphere, and he has to time flash vortex it to get it going.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe that, you know...
Well, oh, I mean, maybe that's this. Maybe it's this. The time sphere will protect Dark while he takes him through time. Yeah. Otherwise,
but Dark doesn't know actually how to fly it, I guess.
Well, I just figured, like, maybe it just encapsulates him so he can actually take him through time, or otherwise time would just rip him to shreds.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You want to go with that one for now?
Unless, of course, you're... Well, you know, on Legends, we just saw Ray fall through time. And apparently all that means is he just showed up in feudal Japan.
He did just show up somewhere else.
But that time is green, and the time that they were going through was blue. So
blue time's safe. Green time.
Right.
Green time's bad.
That's so dumb.
So we're bailing on my explanation then? Okay. I submit to questioning.
I'm looking at you, Guggenheim.
Fix it.
This is your
fault. Kreisberg's fault, I think. I think Kreisberg's point man on this show, isn't he?
No, Guggenheim and Clemmer. Yeah.
Which one's Kreisberg got?
Supergirl and Flash. Okay. He might actually be on all shows. I don't know.
I think they're all kind of a little bit everywhere, but I thought they all had more or less a role on certain things. We'll figure that out on some news episode.
Mm-hmm. Which means we won't.
Yep. We'll forget about it entirely and keep being the jackasses we are.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, when I look over my notes on this episode, I find two main themes.
I Hate the 80s one of the themes.
It's just a big giant pen right there. But it's only part of the theme. There were two. Basically, I have a ton of notes about how badass Obsidian is.
Mm-hmm.
Which amount to just basically Obsidian's a badass. And then I have enough notes here that I have more notes on how much I love Ray and Mick in this episode than I do on the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had their own spinoff series, I would watch the shit out of it.
I would be vaguely interested. Like, I wouldn't really care too much, but I'd watch it.
I love their interaction.
It's fun, but I only want it in small amounts. Like, I don't...
You just like it breaking the tension? Oh, and yeah, I don't want to see
odd couple situation.
I think they just grow into a hell of a team after a while. I mean, they even grew into a team over this episode. And maybe it is. Maybe it's like a cake, and I think I want more, but I really don't. You may be right.
You don't.
But man, I really loved it. I mean, stuff about, like, you're going to run or fight, and, you know, Ray deciding, like, I'm going to fight. Great. And they cross the streams. What do I say about crossing streams? We don't follow rules. That's the one rule we follow.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And in the car, he's still trying to be smart. He's got the jacket and tells him, I was wrong. You keep reminding me of my dead friend. It's bringing up. And then he kind of like trails off before he has to admit he has feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Just adored all of it.
All fine things. Just things that I don't want to see and throughout an entire episode of something.
And him with the little, what was that, an eclair or something later in the episode. You're Ray Palmer. You can science your way out of anything. Now I'm just going to sit here and eat this dessert.
Because there are worse ways to die,
yeah. Like, he tells him he stopped the bomb. He's like, well, great, I can finish the dessert then. I mean, that seems to be his main concern is I can eat the other half of this pastry. Awesome. I feel like I say it constantly. I did not know I was going to love him this much.
I didn't either. And by that, I mean, I didn't know that you were going to love him that much. I like Mick, but he's a bit over the top sometimes. Like, he pulls me out of the show sometimes. You know what I mean?
I'm so damn pleased with his little one-liners that it doesn't work on me. I spend I watch these shows at arm's length anyway, to be honest. Legends is one of those shows that I can't get completely sucked into. It bounces around too much. It's frenetic most of the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of just, it has its moments, but I don't really get completely sucked in.
Yeah. And a lot of times I feel like this show is a collection of references that we're supposed to be giddy about. And in a lot of ways we are, but then when I look back at the episode, I'm like, well, aside from those references, this was kind of a shit episode. I feel like they were like, hey, this episode's kind of shit. Why don't we make a Doc Brown reference at the beginning? Like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then let's lay another one in there. 1987, the halcyon days of Whitney Houston in Star Trek The Next Generation. Of course, someone like me goes, 1987 was not a halcyon day. It was not a halcyon year for Next Generation. It was still kind of a shitty show at that point. So go screw yourself, Legends. Take your reference and shove it up your ass.
TNG forever! No,
TNG season 3 and 3-7 forever!
Yeah. In a way, let me put it this way. The show kind of feels like going in an arcade sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go in with high expectations, you kind of bounce around the room for a little while and have a good time, and then you leave with, a $4 toy that you just spent $50 on.
Yep.
And you kind of leave and go, what did I accomplish? I don't know, but I did have fun.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, I can see three, just in my notes, there were three references. There was, did you really just go Doc Brown on me?
Of course.
The 87 Halcyon Days of Whitney Houston and Star Trek Next Generation, and Don't Cross the Streams.
Yeah.
All 80s references.
Which is fine. I mean, in this episode. And by the way.
Seriously.
I want to say
the rest of this episode was shit.
I want to speak to one point. Those pantsuits.
Okay. Awful.
That's the real danger zone right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot they played Danger Zone.
You bet your ass
in the episode. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. And, I mean, which is normally a fine thing. I'm an Archer fan.
And I really did. I hate that song. But now Archer has me conditioned to the point where when I hear it, I'm like, Danger Zone. And it brings my heart joy now.
Yeah. I hated it for a really long time until Archer
won me over.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, I find on Legends of Tomorrow, the more references they have, the more geeky references they have, the more they're trying to cover up the fact that their episode sucks. And it's just one more gosh.
Even that the episode sucked to me. I just feel like it's a collection of neat things that don't always amount to much. I mean, all right, Vixen talking to Nate at the end of the episode. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything between Vixen and Obsidian, kind of great. It was good to see Obsidian finally be the just complete badass. That guy's awesome. And it was good to see him have his little story arc where he gets to find out why she left, and apparently the team does just fall the fuck apart without Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing that Jim abandon you kind of.
Well, no, they didn't fall. They didn't really fall apart though. I mean, they got killed on a mission.
Well, yeah, but. You get the feeling that Rex Tyler went down, Vixen leaves, and then they were all just struggling to make it by themselves. You get the feeling that if those two were still around, the team might have lasted a little bit longer. Maybe had some retirees instead of people that didn't make it back from missions.
I didn't get that impression. They were talking about, what was it, the 50s? 57, he said? That it was 57, I think he said, that that it was a charged time and he didn't get to go on the mission, so that's why he was still alive, but they didn't make it back.
Yeah.
I mean, from 42 to 57, they hung in there, man. They were okay.
They hung in there. You're right. I may have taken it back. I mean, I may just be extrapolating from how freaking dusky that gym was that somehow I'm thinking, the team just didn't make it. You're right. They did make it about 15 years. But hey, it was cool listening. I love the little backstory about still loving to sing on these missions. Just cute imagery.
Yeah.
Made it his personal mission to get Vixen to sing. Of course she wouldn't.
Not at all fitting with the Commander Steele that we met, but whatever.
But that's kind of why I liked it. It rounded him out in a way. That scene's great. The stuff with Ray coming together. Even Stein getting to talk to his younger self and explaining that all the stuff you're going to win, everything you're going to do, it doesn't make a damn. There are these moments that make the show good, but when you collect them all together, it just doesn't feel like it makes a whole episode sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself just watching these little vignettes that I'm enjoying and then looking back going, what did we accomplish? You know?
I you know, like the big fall apart for me was Sarah. Like, dude, you have got to stop trying to destroy the timeline just for your own petty vengeance. Like, it's stupid. Yes. It is stupid.
I can't even really qualify how dumb it is that she just told him everything he needs to know to avoid all of Arrow Season 4. You just completely erased Arrow Season 4, which many people probably took some joy in.
Right. I just say, you know, and it's stupid to me that, like, okay, last week, Jax, you were like, hey, we're going to cause some problems in the timeline, some aberrations, and then they're like, no, slavery is the aberration, I'm going to save these people. Well, that's fine. Maybe you were always meant to save those people. That doesn't mean next week you're like, no, we have to just say screw the timeline, let's do this.
Yeah, they cannot decide how they actually feel about the timeline. And I had hope that Nate coming back would be a good... Maybe he could offer some guidance on that. Like, he could be working with Gideon the whole time about, no, seriously, this is what's going to happen if you so much as think about doing that. And give them a little bit of, just rein them in is all, really. And it just hasn't amounted to much at all on that.
And if Jax does now feel that way because he saved some slaves, why isn't he trying to go back and save all the slaves? Because that wasn't all the slaves, Jax.
No. That wasn't
all of them.
He got a handful.
It just, you know, wildly uneven on the way these people think. They just are.
No,
Sarah's like, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm going to go try to kill him anyway. Yeah. And you're right. Like, it's stupid for her to be like, oh, and here's all the things that all the ways you're going to suffer. Well, not anymore. I'm not going to have a wife. What do you mean? I just won't get married. I won't have a kid.
Right. Problem solved.
What?
Next.
Oh, and also, I'll just not do the thing that you said that I was going to do.
And you're right. I did have some idea about an arc thing, but I guess I'm going to secure it better now. Maybe move cities.
So you say, what was that you said? Well, what I was saying was that the entire thing was going to be destroyed by a couple of people with bows and arrows. Oh, the right. Hell you say?
They're going to sneak in your southwest ventilation shaft. Remember this, southwest ventilation shaft. That's the one you need to protect. Name is John Diggle. Are you writing this down? John Diggle. That's the one you need to look up. And Oliver.
Oh, and you really don't want to deal with anyone named Lonnie Machen. Just don't deal with that guy because he's just going to cause chaos.
Yeah. When you see him, just
some might say anarchy.
Two in the back of the head. Two in the back of the head.
Don't trust that guy. And definitely don't bring Thea Queen down there.
You're gonna run across this vixen lady at some point. I'm gonna need you to actually lock up your little thing a little bit harder that episode. I mean that week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thea Queen will definitely not take those pills. Yeah, that's gonna be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, enjoy your suffering.
Oh, and here's the thing. So Reverse Flash runs through, grabs him. She was like, Sarah goes, he was grabbed by a speedster. And they're like the Flash? And she goes, faster. I'm like, how could you possibly know that?
Same thought. What? How much Flash experience do you have, Sarah?
I seem to recall that you may have met him once.
I don't remember all this time when you were visually calibrating yourself at Star Labs, but maybe I missed that.
Oh, man.
That was a stretch.
Certainly was. I really don't think I have much more.
That's all I got.
I figured you would laugh when Mick turned on the radio and I just died in your arms tonight was playing and Mick goes, I hate the 80s.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I was like, I like that song. Shut up, Mick.
Side with Mick on this one.
You're wrong. You're both wrong. So wrong. I'll admit I did get a little teary when old Stein was dancing with young wife.
Oh, by the way, a cagey bastard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steal a dance with your younger wife? That's cheeky.
Mm-hmm. Maybe show her your driver's license, sir. Take her in the back closet there.
That's a little too cheeky.
A little too cheeky?
Too much cheek.
You saying he gained weight when he got older? I mean, clearly he did, but... I
mean, that's pretty much how people work, yeah.
It's too cheeky. She leaves him because she saw how much cheek he would have.
Yeah.
I've altered the timeline. What else is new, gang? What else is new?
I think she would just be more encouraged. Like, well, he keeps all his hair. That's a good deal. I'm down.
And he becomes a more generous lover.
This is going to work out well for me.
All right, that's all I've got. Sorry if this got weird, guys.
Pre- appreciate anyone who put up with last week's technical difficulties and managed to get to this one. We're still adjusting.
Thank you.
Is still a temporary setup for me. Still more pieces and parts on order. The laundry list of things that broke just in 2 weeks is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been a wild time, guys. So thank you so much for listening to DC On Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever the hell you listen to us. We are proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, giantsizeteamup.com for all those great shows. We'll be coming back on Tuesday with a couple of news episodes, I believe, okay, unless something else terrible happens. So until next time, keep some DC on your screen.